Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, we come to message three. And the title of message three is Living in the Reality of God's Kingdom. It's by living a God-man life to be a faithful and prudent slave. Living in the reality of God's kingdom by living a God-man life to be a faithful and prudent slave. You know, when we talk about living a God-man life, we're actually talking about living Christ for His magnification. We have Christ in us, but we need to live Him out, or we need to allow Him to live out of us. Recently, I was reading something from the ministry, and I was very touched by one of the speaking of Brother Lee. And he actually spoke this in 1981 in the book called The World Situation and God's Move. Okay. He said, we must preach the gospel adequately. We must teach the Bible and seek to bring others to the full knowledge of the truth. For this, we need to respect and know God's word. We must also come together according to the Bible to have a proper church life. Okay, those are three things that we all think the Lord's recovery is doing, right? First of all, we preach the gospel adequately. And then we teach the Bible, we teach the truth. And also we come together according to the Bible to have a proper church life. He said, but, brother, he said, these three things, however, are not sufficient. They are not sufficient. So don't think that if you have these three things, it is sufficient. It's not sufficient. We must be for the central vision of God's economy. We must live Christ to be filled with Him and have Him as our daily living. And as the practical, actual content of the church life, so that we may be His living body to express Him. Then every local church will be a golden lampstand, and the bride will be prepared for the bridegroom. And when the bride is prepared for the bridegroom, that is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this living Christ is very important. If we have just the first three, preaching the gospel, teaching the truth, and have a proper meeting, that is not sufficient. Today, we must allow this Christ within us to be able to live out of us. Then the bride would be prepared and the Lord will be back. Amen. You know, so when we come to this message, this conference, we are talking about living the reality of the God's kingdom. You know, there is a way for us to do it, and this is the way, by living the God-man life to be a faithful and prudent slave. We remember that when Brother Lee talked about this, he talked it in the context of that we need to have this new revival, the final revival, that revival that will bring the Lord back, which is, you know, by arriving at the high peak of the divine revelation, by living a God-man life, and by shepherding the saints according to God. You know, today there is such a need of a new revival. And as our brother shared this morning, this is not a revival that probably we are used to, where every year, you know, some people are revived, and as soon as they revive, they go downhill until next year, when they have to come back to a revival meeting. This is not what we are talking about. We are talking about a new revival, the final revival, the revival that will bring the Lord back. So I just hope that the Lord would touch us deeply, that this is what the Lord's recovery is doing today. Amen. You know, to have this final revival, to have the last Lord's recovery, the recovery that will bring our Lord back. Okay, so when we come to this message, we would like to talk about living the God-man life so that we can be the faithful and prudent slave. And it is this that we live in the reality of God's kingdom so that the kingdom can come. Okay, Roman number one says, God needs a corporate people. God needs a corporate people. You know, as we talk about the new revival, you know, let's remember, we are not talking about individual people getting revived. We are talking about a corporate people. Amen. That's why when Brawley shared about living a Godman life, he's talking about a model could be produced. And this model is a corporate people, you know, that could be produced. And it is this corporate people, this corporate person that will bring the Lord back. This is what God needs. You know, when I see God needs, I always feel that we care so much for our own need, but we always forget about God's need. You know how many times when we come to pray to the Lord, you know, we just consider about our need. We don't consider too much about God's need. But tonight, I just hope that the Lord would really change our concept. You know, if we meet God's need, then our needs will be met. Amen. If we don't meet God's need, our need will not be met. God's need as corporate people to be raised up by His grace, by the enjoyment of the triune God, through the high peak of the divine revelation, to live a life according to this revelation. You know, we need to come to this high peak of the divine revelation. I hope that we all see this high peak of the divine revelation. The reason that the enemy attacked this so much, so that it was lost for thousands of years, is because the enemy knows that if we actually see this high peak of the divine revelation, his days would be numbered. You know, his days would be numbered. So he has to attack this until Christianity forgot all about this. Although at the start, you know, even Athanasius talk about this. You know, they talk about how this God came to become a man is so that men can become God in life and nature. Yeah. You know, Athanasius says, the Word was, you know, was made flesh, that we, partaking of His Spirit, might be deified. That might be deified. Amen. The Word become flesh. That means the incarnation of this very Christ is so that He can become the Spirit, so that we can partake of the Spirit. And as we partake of the Spirit, something will happen to us. We will be deified. Amen. But if you talk to Christians today about being deified, they say, oh, what are you talking about? No, don't talk about deification. But this is what the Lord is doing. That's why, you know, we say if we believe in the Lord, we become children of God. Amen. Dog bears dog. Cats bears that. And so what does God bears? It must be God. Or else something is totally wrong here. But praise the Lord, we can be deified. And this is what the Lord is doing. He's deifying us. This is the very high peak of the divine revelation. You know, in Acts 26, verse 19, you know, when Paul was talking to King Agrippa, he said, I was not disobedient to this heavenly mission. This heavenly vision is actually talking about this high peak truth, how God came so that we can become God in life and in nature. You know, just like Paul was controlled by this high peak truth, by this heavenly vision, may we all be controlled by this high peak truth. May the Lord really control us by this high peak vision, the heavenly vision, so that we know we are here not just to go, not just to be a proper person, not just to be a good person, but to be a God-man. Amen. We are human, yet we can live God. Because we have God in us. Amen. Oh, this is a wonderful gospel. If we don't have God in us, we can never live a God-man life. But praise the Lord, we all understand when we believe in the Lord, what we receive is the life of God. Amen. You know, this very trying God enter into us. Amen. So we have God in our spirit.
Amen.
So if we exercise our spirit, we turn to our spirit, if we walk according to this mingled spirit, we are actually living the God-man life.
Amen.
So A here says, a revival is the practice. Okay, the revival is not just a theory for you to contemplate. It's actually a practice. It's the practicality of the vision we have, the vision we have seen. If we practice living the life of a God-man, which is the reality of the body of Christ, spontaneously, a corporate model, here is this word, a corporate model will be built up. A model living in the economy of God. This model will be the greatest revival in the history of the church to bring the Lord back.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. This is not just a new revival. This is not just a final revival. This is the greatest revival. Oh, the revival that will bring the Lord back. Okay. Now, Roman number 2 says, the disciples of Christ were discipled through Christ's human living on the earth as the model of a God-man through his living God by denying himself in his humanity. This revolutionized their concept concerning men. You know, before the Lord was here, nobody lived in that way. You know, the Lord came, but he did not live according to himself. He did not do according to his own will. He did not speak according to his own words. This is the model that we see from our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, those disciples, they saw a man like this. And this seeing of such a God-man, of the first God-man, actually revolutionized their concept concerning men. Actually, men can be such a way. Men could be like the Lord Jesus. You know, he is a human being, but he lived God out of his daily life. Oh, this is a wonderful thing. You know, when we come to this, all these references, I was quite touched, like in Matthew 5:1. And he says that, and when he saw the crowd, he went to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. His disciples came to him. When I was reading Matthew again just recently, the whole book of Matthew, and I see that, you know, so many times when he talks about the disciples, right away he said the disciple came to him. The disciple came to him. You know, so if we really want to be the disciple of our Lord Jesus, we need to come to the Lord Jesus. Okay, we should not say, oh, you know, once upon a time in 19 forgotten, I came to the Lord, I received the Lord. Yeah, you may have a life, but, you know, you may not be a proper disciple. If you want to be a disciple today, you need to come to the Lord.
Amen.
Just like those disciples, you know, every day they live with the Lord. They watch the Lord in all his words and in all his action. That's why they became the disciples. And you know, the second verse here is in Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, go therefore, after you have come to the Lord so much, after you have become the disciple of the Lord, then you can go. You know, before you get disciple, what can you do? You cannot do much. Especially, you cannot go and disciple the nation. You cannot disciple others if you yourself are not a disciple. So we need to come to the Lord so much. You know, that's why in all our messages, we keep talking that we need to spend much time with the Lord. We need to have personal, affectionate, private, and spiritual contact with the Lord. You know, today the Lord makes himself so available and so near to us. We don't have to go to the Himalayas to find our Lord.
Amen.
You know, if we have to do that, that would be terrible. You know, but praise the Lord, our Lord is in our spirit.
Amen.
We can just turn to our spirit.
Amen.
You You know, if you don't know how to turn to your spirit, there is one easy way to do it. Just call on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, you are turning to the Lord. You know, you're coming to the Lord so that we can all be disciples. You know what the disciples saw is a person. He said the Son can do nothing from himself except what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the one does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Okay, and then in verse 30 of chapter 5, he said, I can do nothing from myself. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Okay, this is how the Lord discipled the people, disciple his disciples, by telling him he never do anything by himself. Everything he does is because of what the Father is doing. Okay, and Paul probably has learned all these things so that he could actually say in Philippians 1:21a, for to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ. You know, don't think that this is unsurmountable mountain. You know? If Paul could do it, he himself say he is the least among all. I believe we all can do it. Amen. We all can turn to our spirit and allow this life within us to live out of us. Amen. We can all live Christ. Amen. So we can all declare to all our friends and relatives and classmates that for me to live is Christ. Amen. I'm wondering if you are willing to say such thing. If you meet your friend and they say, how are you doing? They will say, ¿qué pasa? And you just say, for to me to live is Christ. Don't you think they will be so amazed? They will say, oh, I've never seen a man like this. So they may want to have what you have. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, and then A here says, our life should be a copy, a reproduction of the model of the life of Christ, the first God-man. You know, it is so wonderful. When we come here, you know, we are talking about we can actually be a reproduction of this very Christ. Don't you think this is wonderful? You know, so as we come to this point, I really want to point out that in the Lord's recovery, in God's economy, we see that there are two processes, two consummation, and one marriage. You know that this is what the whole Bible is talking about? Amen. Two processes, two consummation, and one marriage. The two processes involve God, and it involved men, okay? The first process is God came to become, if he was incarnated, then he went through a human living for 33 and a half years. And then he died for us on the cross. Then he was buried, and he was resurrected, and he was ascended. This is the process that our God was willing to go through. You know, I always, when I was thinking about this, I just cannot help but praise the Lord. How this very God want to become a puny little man. Can you imagine that? If I have a choice, I may never choose to be a man. But I have no choice. You know, but God, he has a choice. He chose to become a man. Can you imagine that? He came and he was incarnated. He chose one of the poorest people to be born with. You know, if I were God, I would say, man, I must have at least a sultan of Brunei, or, you know, some of this king, all these people, so that I have a wonderful human life. You know, but he was born in a manger. Okay, and he went through life full of suffering. And after that, he was killed by his own people. and he was put on the cross. You know, that's the most terrible, inhuman way of killing a person. You know, he died on the cross. But praise the Lord, you know, death cannot hold the resurrection life. And so after he was buried, he was resurrected. You know, and he became the life-giving spirit. And not only that, he was ascended. You know, today he was sitting in the right hand of the throne of God, there doing his heavenly ministry to administer everything so that we can go through our process. He went through the process. Now we also must go through this process. And this process, we could say, is the organic salvation that the Lord has given us. You know, first of all, he gave us the judicial redemption. Through the blood that he has shed for us, he dealt with this matter of sins and sin. And the matter of sins and sin was dealt with. But then he continued to do this. When he regenerated us, we are able to share in his divine life. When he sanctified us, we are able to partake of his divine nature. When he renewed us, we are able to partake of God's mind. Don't you think this is wonderful? Amen. Let this mind also be in you. Amen. Can you imagine? The mind of God is in us. Amen. That is, I think, Philippians 2:5, right? And then through his transformation, we can become his being. We can be transformed from glory to glory. And we can be conformed to his image. And we can be glorified. You know, he's using the process of glorification to bring all his son unto glory. So this is our process. You know, as the Lord has gone through his process, he has completed his process. Now we have to go through this process until we become just like him. Then we come to bride that is fully prepared to receive our Lord back. You know, I just hope that the Lord would touch us with this. And finally, in Revelation we see that there is this confirmation is the first confirmation. What is that now? Consummation. Man, I think I'm getting old. Do you think I'm getting old? The first consummation is as he became the Spirit.
Amen.
As he goes through those processes, he became the Spirit. And how about us? When we go through all those processes, we become the bride.
Amen.
So we have the Spirit and the bride. Oh, praise the Lord for the Spirit and the bride. Okay, and then in Revelation 22, we see that the Spirit and the bride is joined together. This is the marriage that we are talking about. We will be joined together with the Lord. And then together we could say, the Spirit say is what we say. What we say is what the Spirit say. We will all say, come, Lord Jesus. Don't you think this is wonderful? We are becoming the reproduction of this first God-man. This first God-man is being reproduced in you and me. This is a wonderful gospel. This is the full gospel. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. So we read A, and if we go when we talk about A being the reproduction of the model of the life of Christ, the first God-man, and then the verse there is 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered on your behalf, leaving you a model that you may follow in his steps. You know, the Lord goes through all this suffering so that he can live us with a model. And this model is actually talking about an underwriting. We may not know how to write a Chinese calligraphy, but you know, if somebody gives you a model and you put your paper on top of it, you may know not, you can just follow that writing and you would be able to come up with a perfect writing. You know, this is the model that he's talking about. Our Christ is the model, and we can actually follow the Lord. We can be his reproduction, okay? And then in verse Matthew 11, 28 and 29, you know, recently I've been coming to this two verse very, very much, and I really love this. It says, "Come to me, all who toil and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Then the Lord continued saying in verse 30, that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, praise the Lord. You know, we have this model. You know, how do we become such a model? Is by coming to the Lord, by coming to the model. And when we come to the model, we would actually enjoy his yoke that is easy. And his yoke, it means his will. You know, today, you know, we may think that, oh, to do God's will is so difficult. You know, you think it is difficult because you try to do it yourself. So how about coming to the Lord? Then you will be just like him. Then the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Okay? So what we do is we pray to the Lord so that we can experience this yoke that is easy and this burden that is light. You know, come to me. I hope we would remember this. Come to me. You know, allow this Lord to be able to live out of you. Okay? And then in Ephesians 4:20, "But you did not so learn Christ." It's talking about we need to learn this Christ. You know what we talk about when we learn this Christ is that we want to learn Christ according to the actual situation and condition of the life of Jesus as recorded in the four gospels. Okay, we can come to this very Christ and learn Christ. Okay. And then B here says, you know, when I was reading this, I decided to read through all the four gospels again to see what I could get out of it. You know, and one of the things that touched me very much when I was reading the four gospel again is that many times in the gospel, you know, it would say, the Lord is moved with his compassion. You know, so this person is full of compassion. Don't you think that is wonderful? We are here because of his compassion. He would not allow people to go hungry. You know, he would not allow sick people to remain in their sick position. He is just full of compassion. You know, if we actually learn of Christ, don't you think our church life would be wonderful? We will be full of compassion towards one another instead of full of judgment towards one another. You know, we would just be Christ walking on this earth again. Then we would have a golden lampstand shining forth this very Christ. Okay, B, the spirit of life and the reality who was breathed into the disciple would guide them into the reality of what they had observed of the Lord when they were with him for 3.5 years. Okay, after the Lord was resurrected, he became the life-giving spirit, you know, and he breathed this spirit, this Holy Spirit, this life-giving spirit, this, what John 7 is talking about, the spirit. He breathed this spirit as his breath into his disciple. And this spirit is the spirit of life. This spirit is the spirit of reality. And he will bring all of them into this reality. And then one here says, at the commencement of the first God's ministry, he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, recognizing that according to his flesh, his humanity, he was good for nothing but death and burial. Okay? You know, the Lord, at the start of his ministry, he came to the minister of the age at that time, which is John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. He's actually not a Baptist. He's just baptized people. Okay, so he came to him. You know, if you were the Lord, would you actually do that? Because even John said, you know, I should be baptized by him, not the other way around. Because John saw that he's the Lamb of God that would take away all the sins of men. You know, but the Lord came. He had declared this to all people, that in his natural life, he's just good for one thing. He's just good for death and burial. You know, this is how he shepherded us, by showing us that in our natural life, we are just good for death and burial. You know, if the Lord needs that, we need that even more. Okay, so that's how the Lord came. In his start of his ministry, he was baptized by John the Baptist, because he's wanting to declare that in his flesh, he's just good for nothing. Okay? And two here say, he trained his disciples to learn from him in the miracle of the feeding of 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish. Okay, here is a miracle. And I think many people know about this miracle. You know, how the Lord uses five loaves and two fish to feed 5,000 men. If you consider this, since in the church life, it's two sisters to one brother, so you probably have 15,000 people. And if you add the children, I don't know how many, but there is a lot of people. You know, so most people, when they come to this miracle, they consider, you know, oh, can this actually happen? You know, how can five loaves and two fish feed so many people? You know, and all these questions, you know. But, you know, in doing this, it is in the detail that the Lord wants to train us. Right. It's in the detail of it. You know, like, you know, after everything was ate, he was making sure that all the remains, you know, was put in the basket. And it came out to be 12 basket full. But there's one other thing that is very important in showing us, and it is in A. He said he's looking up to heaven to bless the five loaves and the two fish, indicates his realizing that the source of blessing was not him, the sent one, but the Father, the sending one. Okay, look up to heaven. He's telling all those people, you know, this, he himself is not the source of this blessing, because he is the sent one. The source is the sending one. Okay? And then B, he said, he did not remain in the issue of the miracle with the crowds, but went away from them to be with the Father on the mountain in prayer. Amen. You know, I don't know if you are able to, you know, to perform such a miracle. You know, what would you do? I think you will linger around, maybe take a few interviews. Isn't that true? Oh, you probably would want to take a few pictures, and probably, you know, tweet around telling how wonderful you are. You know, but this is not what the Lord did. You know, the Lord actually, you know, in Matthew 14:22, and it says this, immediately he compelled the disciple to step into a boat and to go before him to the other side, while he sent the crowd away. Immediately he did that. Because probably he think, you know, this disciple may like to linger, you know. Oh, yeah, you know, our master did such a good thing. You know, let me shake your hand and all this stuff. So he compared them, get away from here, so that he can send all these people away, so that he can go to the mountain. You know, this is what he's showing us. You know, he wants to go into the mountain. You know, he's compelling of all his disciples to get out of there is so that he would have more time to spend with the Father. He wants to spend more time with the Father. You know, sometimes the trainees in FTTA came to me and said, oh, we don't have too much time to pray. I said, maybe you talk too much. You know, you in the name of fellowship, you just talk too much. And so you run out of time. You know, you should compare people to leave you so that you can go to your mountain so that you can pray to the Father. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, he is showing us a pattern that he wants to go to the mountain. And it says here in verse 23, he went to the mountain privately to pray. So he went there privately to pray. And he was there alone with the Lord. You know, such private time with the Lord is actually very important. You know, we need to have private time with the Lord. You know, praise the Lord, we're in the church, and we have so much church meeting, and we came and enjoyed the Lord so much. You know, this is one aspect of our church life. But we should not neglect our private time with the Lord. You know, we can use all kinds of opportunity to talk to the Lord. You know, there is no excuse that we don't have a private time with the Lord. You know, I was telling the trainees, even in a place where there are so many people, when they wake up, even before they rise up from their bed, they can spend their private time with the Lord already. You know? They can pray to the Lord. They can talk to the Lord. You know, where they are brushing their teeth, you know, they can all do all this kind of private encountering with our Lord. You know, so may the Lord really touch us very much. Okay, so when we come to this place, you know, there is a in the references here, there's a CF on SS 1:1-4, Song of Song 1-4. Okay. And, you know, there is, maybe I could read you something. Because when I was reading this, I was very touched by what the Lord is sharing through our brother Nee, in this book called The Song of Songs. Okay. Now when Brother Neil was talking about the Song of Song, he said in this place, you know, he said, the first verse says the Song of Song, which is Solomon's. Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. You know that? Do you believe that? Well, if you don't believe, go read 1 Kings 4:32. Of all his songs, this is the best and most precious one. Consequently, it is called the Song of Song. The inner sanctuary is the Holy of Holies. The Lord Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the Song of Songs. The book of Ecclesiastes speaks of vanity of vanity. Whereas this book is the Song of Song. You know, when I was reading this, I was specially touched because when I was in my own wedding meeting, Bradley spoke a message. And he said, you have a choice, either Song of Song or Vanity of Vanity. It's in my wedding day. He said, this is a new start, so you choose, Song of Song or Vanity of Vanity. You know, today we are presented with this choice. Which one do you want, Song of Songs or Vanity of Vanities? Okay, let me continue. He said, this song is in contrast with Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes speaks of an unsettled life. But this song speaks of the rest after being unsettled. Ecclesiastes tells us that men cannot be satisfied with knowledge, but this song tells us that men can only be satisfied by love. Ecclesiastes tells us about the pursuit under the sun, but this song tells us about the pursuit of Christ. In Ecclesiastes, the object that is being sought after is a wrong one, and the way is the wrong way. The result is vanity of vanities. In the Song of Songs, the object that is being sought after is the right one, and the way is the right way. The result is the right one. And you read through the whole Song of Songs, what is the result? The result is that we become the duplication of Christ. Amen. You know, this Shulamite became the duplication of Solomon. Oh, praise the Lord. We can actually choose the Song of Songs so that we can become the duplication of our Lord. Amen. Okay. Then in 3 it says, he taught his disciples to pray, execute God's will for his economy. You know, he taught his disciples to pray, to execute God's will for his economy. Having faith in God without doubting. Having faith in God without doubting. You know, what is this portion saying? You know, if we want to understand, it is good for us to go back to the book called The God Man Living. And if we go there to page 147 to 48, it talks about faith without doubting. And I would read you some portion of that. In that portion, Brawley actually gave one of his testimony. You know, first he gave the testimony of Russia, then he gave a testimony of himself in 1943. He said in 1943, which was the critical years of the war between China and Japan, he said, I was very much oppressed by the military police of the Japanese invading army in my city. He said, one night I had a dream in which the Lord assured me that I would not be harmed by them. In that dream, I was walking and I came to a slope with 4 steps. After I stepped down, a German shepherd jumped up and put his front paws upon me. But the dog did not hurt me. When it stopped bothering me, I saw the day dawn. Amen. Like the dawning in the morning, with a broad highway, very bright and very straight. Amen. Don't you think we are in that dream? Amen. I think if you travel around, especially today in Europe, you would see that we are in that broad highway. You know, I just came back from France, from Germany, and from Austria. And I was amazed, you know, how the Lord is working there. You know, with a broad highway, very bright and very straight. After waking up, I realized that this was not an ordinary dream. As I considered this dream, I received its interpretation. The fourth step was the last 4 years of the war, which were very difficult in China. There were 8 years of fighting between Japan and China. And the last 4 years after America joined the war became very hard. The Japanese military police arrested me, but before they did, I had this dream. I realized that the German shepherd signified the Japanese who were troubling me, but who eventually did not do any harm to me. After this troubling, there was a broad highway shining under the dawning of the day. I then knew that after the Japanese trouble, the Lord would bring me unto such a highway. You know, this is really something. You know, something appeared to Brother Lee. He saw this dream. And out of this dream, he has a faith that the Japanese would not harm him and that he would go on the way, you know, this broad highway, okay? And then he continues, I went to Taiwan in 1949 the ministry of Christ, for the establishing of the building up of the churches there. Eventually, I came to the United States and began to minister here for the Lord's recovery in 1962. I never dreamt that it would be here. Today, the whole earth is open to the recovery. Amen. Oh, this is really true. During all my time in the church life, I have never seen such a harmony among the churches, among the elders, and among the co-workers as today. By His mercy and grace, we can boast that today on this whole earth, all the churches, the co-workers, and the elders are in harmony. Every sign is an encouragement. Every report is beautiful. The Lord is working everywhere. The open doors to the Lord's recovery is His doing. For this move, I have prayed at rest, believing that I have what I have asked for. Oh, this is wonderful. Because of His contact with the Lord, you know, He has faith without any doubt. You know, I would like to read one more portion here. He said, you know, how do we have faith without doubt? We must first be the right person before God, person who are one with God. Then we can have God as our faith and pray according to our knowledge of God's will for the fulfillment of His economy. If we pray for something according to our desire, not according to God's will, to fulfill our purpose, not to fulfill God's economy, we can never have the faith in God to believe that we have received what we asked for. You know, so he's talking about that we need to be the right person so that we can be one with God, praying for the economy of God. If we do that, we would actually receive Him as our faith without any doubt. Don't you think that is wonderful? Oh, praise the Lord. We can actually have faith in God without doubting. You know, sometimes when we are talking about going to Europe with such insurmountable things to do there, you know, we may think, oh, can we actually do it? But praise the Lord, if we are in the dream, as Broly said, you know, Broly, before he died, he still said that I am in this dream. So we need to all share in this dream to see how the Lord would accomplish what He is after. You know, sometimes when we see the situation around, we may think, oh, it will take a long time. But I could tell you, you know, the time is near. The Lord is doing so much, even, you know, without us, He's still doing it. You know, I met some of these refugees. You know, they came from Afghanistan, and they were safe in Afghanistan. You know, through a DVD. You know, the two boys got saved. They were in college. One of their college friends, who was a Muslim, speak to them about the gospel, and they got saved. And they brought the DVD home, hide it, because they don't know what the father and the mother could say. But the father and mother discover it. They too become safe. The whole family was safe. So they know, you know, that they're going to be persecuted in Afghanistan. So they walk all the way to Germany. Can you imagine that? And now they have their asylum status. They can stay in Germany. Oh, this is wonderful. The Lord is doing so much. So, brothers and sisters, have faith without doubt. Okay, four here says, he lived a life of contacting God, living in the presence of God without ceasing, and of contacting people, ministering God into them to bring them into the jubilee of God's New Testament economy. Oh, may we learn this from the Lord. Always contacting God, living in the presence of God without ceasing. And when we contact people, because we have contacted God, we will be able to minister God to them, to bring them into the jubilee of God's New Testament economy. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, so don't forget to contact God. And then when you come to see, Note 5. 5 says, he was a man in whom Satan, the ruler of the world, had nothing, no ground, no chance, no hope, no possibility in anything. Don't you think this is wonderful? Oh, this is a wonderful statement. Huh? And it's John 14:30. He was a man in whom Satan, the ruler of the world, had nothing, no ground, no chance, no hope, no possibility in anything. If we really learn from our Lord, we could also be this man whom Satan, the ruler of the world, had nothing. And this person is actually in us. So we just have to turn into our spirit and stay and remain in our mingled spirit. And if we do that, Satan, the ruler of the world, had nothing in us. He can do nothing with us. Okay? And then C said, we are also disciples to live a God-man life by observing the intrinsic pattern of Christ's sent one, his slaves, who are his duplications. You know, I was in the recovery observing how Brother Nee and Brother Watchman Nee acted for 18 years. All that I observed in him became thing discipling me. Now, this is so wonderful. You know, sometimes I feel that we are so blessed by the Lord because we saw someone like Brother Lee following Brother Nee. You know, so my prayer to the Lord is that I would also be like Brother Lee in following Brother Lee. You know, the way Brother Lee followed Brother Nee is really exceptional. That's why Brother Lee could speak so much, you know, could do so much. Today we should pray to the Lord, and we praise the Lord for giving us this pattern before us. These are his disciples, these are his slaves, these are the patterns that the Lord has given us so that we can follow him. Okay, we need to pray to the Lord that he would make us those that would follow this pattern. You know, Paul talks about this to Timothy. That's why in 1 Timothy 4:12, he said, "Don't let no man despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." You know what Paul is talking about? You know, I am your pattern, and you too can become a pattern to others. It is four things, you know, in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity, in five things. You know, we can be pattern to others. As we follow the pattern that the Lord has set before us, we also can become patterns of others. Okay, D said, the only way to live the life of the God-man according to the Lord's model is to set our entire being, on the mingled spirit, walking, living, and having our being according to the mingled spirit. So you would say, how do we do that? How do we set our entire being on the mingled spirit, walking, living, having our being according to the mingled spirit? You know, if you look at all these references, it is wonderful. First of all, you know, in Romans 10, 12, it talks about he, the Lord of, okay, let me see. For the same Lord is Lord of all and rich to all who call upon him. You know, this discovery of calling on the name of the Lord is wonderful. He's rich unto all that call upon him. So if you feel that it's difficult, it's not so easy, you know, call on his name. He's rich unto all that call upon him. And if you call upon him, he will be the operating one in you. And by operating in you, he could work out all these life practices so that you could actually set your entire being on this mingled spirit. When you come to Ephesians 6, 17 and 18, you know, it talks about by means of all prayer and petition. You know, we need to come to the Lord and we need to pray, you know, by praying to him. we could be enlivened, we can be strengthened to be in this mingled spirit. But you know, these things, these life practices in 1 Thessalonians is so wonderful. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, always rejoice. Always rejoice. You know, Paul talks about always rejoice to the people in Thessalonica. You know, maybe there is not much thing to be rejoiced about. But he said, if you have this life in you, you could actually rejoice in all things. You could always rejoice. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. You know, I was fellowshipping with some of the trainees. And I said, how can we give thanks in everything? The only way that we can give thanks in everything is if we truly believe that our God is the sovereign God. He is God and we are men. He has arranged all these things, you know. You know, sometimes we think we are better than God, so we cannot thank him, you know. He said, why did you do this? You know, if I were you, I would not allow this thing to go on. So you're actually usurping the Godship or the Lordship of the Lord. But if you recognize that he is the Lord, he is the sovereign one, he is the Lord of Lords, he is God, then you will be giving thanks to him in all things. So here are these three things. Always rejoice, unceasingly pray, and giving in everything give thanks. These are wonderful things that we can all practice. Unceasingly pray. That means we talk to him in all place. Unceasingly pray is telling us that our prayer is just like our breathing. We need to breathe in Christ in every place of our life. You know? Every day, every hour, every minute, we need to breathe in this very Christ. We could contact him. We could talk to him. You know, it's not necessary that you stop everything, close your eyes, then pray. You know, if you're driving, please don't do that because you'll be in deep trouble. But if you recognize this unceasing we pray is just to talk to the Lord. You know, while you're driving, that's the best time where we can talk to the Lord, especially if you're driving alone in those freeway that is no longer too free. You know, you can actually pray to the Lord. You can spend much time with the Lord. The more traffic, the more time you have. Don't you think so? Amen. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Oh, do not quench the spirit. In fact, you know, we need to fan our spirit. Fan into flame our spirit. You know? And do not despise prophecies. Do not despise prophecies. You know, when we come to a meeting, praise the Lord, in our meeting, there's so many prophecies. You know, we should be open to all the speaking of all the brothers and sisters, even if they are younger than us, okay? And I'm telling this myself, because there is less and less people that are older than me. Okay. So if I am not open to younger ones, then there is no prophecy that I can receive. Don't you think so? Amen. For which cause I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. Amen. Okay, let's go to Roman number 3. Who then is a faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? To give them food at the proper time. You know, you should underline, you know, you should circle these three words. Give them food. How do we become a faithful and prudent slave? It's not just doing a lot of good works. You know, if you do a lot of good work and provide no food to people, you are not a faithful and prudent slave. You know, it's very clear here. You are faithful and prudent. if you give people food at the proper time. That means you give God Himself, you give Christ Himself to people at the proper time. You can give this Christ with all the unsearchable riches of Christ to people. You know, you can infuse people with this Christ. Then you are a faithful and prudent slave. Blessed is the slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Truly I say to you that he will set him over all his possessions. Oh, Lord Jesus. So may we really see this, you know. But for us to be able to give people food, you know, what does it mean? You better eat first. If you don't eat, you have no food. Okay, so I don't know what you will be giving people. So that's why we keep talking about the way is to eat Christ, to eat more and more of Him, so that you have more Christ to give to others. And A here says, God's economy in faith is His household economy, His household administration, which is to dispense Himself in Christ into His chosen people, so that He may have a house to express Himself, which house is the church, the body of Christ. And B here said, the faithful and prudent slave is a steward in God's house, a household administrator, dispensing Christ as food to His believers. Okay? And then one he'll say, faithful is shown towards the Lord, whereas prudent is exercised towards the believers. Okay. You know, this verse in 2 Chronicles 1:10 is a wonderful verse, you know. I think we need to pray this verse over and over again. And this is talking about Solomon. So Solomon was set up as a king. You know, he prayed this prayer to the Lord, you know. He said, now give me the wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? You know, in our church life, we need to pray much about this, you know. So we need to ask the Lord to give us the wisdom and the knowledge so that we may go out and come in before His people. We need such wisdom and we need such knowledge. But where can we find wisdom and where can we find knowledge? Praise the Lord for the writing of Paul. In Colossians 2, 2 and 3, he said, you know, all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. So if you come to Christ, then you will have the wisdom and the knowledge. You know, when Solomon prayed about this, he doesn't know Christ yet. But today we are in the New Testament. You know, when we pray this prayer, that means we are willing to come to this Christ where all wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Okay? And then 2 says, in the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens, the Lord will set the faithful slave over his possession. This will be a reward to his slave. Oh, you know, in Matthew 25, 21, you know, I just hope that one day when we all meet the Lord, what the Lord would tell us is enter into the joy of your master. Enter into the joy of your master. Okay, see here, say, give them food refers to ministering the word of God and Christ as the life supply to the believers in the church. Christ as the life-giving spirit is our food, embodied and realized in the word of life. In order to enjoy the Lord as our spiritual food, so that we can feed others, we need to receive His word by means of all prayer and with much, much reconsideration. You know, when we hear a message, we should not think that just by hearing it once we got it. We need to return to those messages, reconsider it over and over again. We should, you know, exercise our spirit to pray through all the outlines. And perchance the Lord will even show us more light. You know, we can see Him more. We need to have much consideration. You know, prayer and with much reconciliation. You know, that's why, you know, in Leviticus 11, when they talk about the clean animal, is those animals that chew the cud, okay? And then in Ezekiel 3:1, it talks about, you know, I believe we talked about this before. He said, and he said to me, you know, the Lord said to him, son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So we need to eat first, then we can go, and then we go, we speak. Okay, so after listening to this, Ezekiel said this, so I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. And he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your inward parts with this scroll. Fill your inward parts, that means your soul, your spirit, you know, with this scroll that I am giving you. And I ate it, and it was like honey in my mouth in its sweetness. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. Speak with my words to them. So when we go and speak, we are not speaking our own words. We are speaking the words that we have ate. You know, then we can speak his word. Okay, two, we need to continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. You know, what does this mean? You know, we need to continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. That means, you know, we need to reflect Christ in his heavenly ministry. He's there interceding for us. He's praying for us. And he's transmitting himself into us. Okay? See yourself. No. Okay, three. We need to prophesy. Okay, actually, this is a very good definition of prophesying. We need to prophesy to build up the church. Why? How do we prophesy? By speaking what we see with the living words of this life, under the instant and fresh inspiration, anointing, and enlightenment of the Holy Spirit through the exercise of our spirit. How about we all read this?
We need to prophesy to build up the church, speaking what we see with the living words of this life, under the instant and fresh inspiration, anointing, and enlightenment of the Holy Spirit through the exercise of our spirit.
Amen. Okay. Okay, then we come to four. He said, we need to pray. We need to pray ourselves into God. We need to pray ourselves into God. You know, to receive the life-giving spirit as our supply, our spiritual food, to feed ourselves and those under our care. You know, we feed ourselves, then we can feed those who are under our care. And then five says, we need to be a life-giving asker, a channel of life-giving spirit. You know, we should be a life-giving asker, okay? That means we should not be a life-giving criticizer. Is that right? But, you know, it's a lot easier for us to criticize. But, you know, what this 1 John 5:16 is telling us is that we need to ask. When we see something, you know, that's the time when we need to ask, okay? So that we can be a channel of life-giving spirit. 1 John 5:16 says, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin, not unto death, he shall ask the Lord, okay? And he himself, this very brother who saw, he will give life to him, the sinning one, to those sinning not unto death. There is a sin unto death, okay? So what it's talking about here is that when we see something, actually, the Lord sometimes gives us opportunity to see something. You know, this opportunity is given to us so that we would have an opportunity to give life to people. Amen. Don't you think that's wonderful? Amen. You know, you see something. So what do? You exercise our spirit, you know, to ask the Lord, to allow the Lord to fill you with something of himself. so that you can actually give this something which is life to this person. This should be our goal. When you see somebody sin, you should not take this as an opportunity to criticize him, you know, to kick him out of the meetings. You need to use this opportunity to actually shepherd him by cherishing him, by nourishing him with the very life of God. Amen. And 6 here says, we need to be sons of fresh oil as the channels of supply to the churches. When we come to the book of Zechariah, it talks about this golden lampstand, right? And if you go to 4:13, and he spoke to me saying, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, sir. And he said, these are the 2 sons of oil who stand by the Lord of the whole earth. You know, that golden lampstand has these 2 sons of oil, these 2 olive branches with these 2 golden sprouts. And they emptied their gold from themselves into this lampstand so that this lampstand would shine forth with the very God. You know, today we need to ask the Lord to make us the sons of fresh oil. Amen. So that we can, you know, outpour this gold into this lampstand. You know, when you come to a meeting and you think this meeting is not so bright, you know, you should not blame other people. You should blame yourself. How much gold did you give? How much golden oil did you give, you know, to the meetings? You know, if we are all vitalized, the whole meeting would be vitalized. Amen. Don't you think so? You know, so for this meeting to be vitalized, you should start thinking about what you're going to share. You must pour out your oil. Amen. So that the meeting would be full of the shining of the triune God. Okay. And then 7 said, we need to be one with the Lord to cherish others in his humanity and nourish them in his humanity, in his divinity. Okay, that means, you know, we should not do it in our natural life, in our flesh, but we should do it in this very God-man that is living in us. We want to cherish people according to his humanity and nourish people according to his divinity. And then 8 says, we need to feed the Lord's lamb and shepherd his sheep in cooperation with Christ's heavenly ministry. You know, before the Lord was ascended, he talked to Peter, and he told him to shepherd his lamb, to feed his lamb. You know, this is his calling to us. Today, we need to be the Peters of today, you know, feeding the Lord's lamb and shepherding his sheep in cooperation with Christ's heavenly ministry. Christ is in the heavens today. He's doing his heavenly ministry. We are the body of Christ. We must allow him to be able to move on this earth by shepherding his lamb, by feeding his lamb. Okay, let's come to 4. Okay, how about let's all read 4? This is a warning. Now, when we read this verse, I hope we all have a prayer that the Lord will save us from being an evil slave. You know, he needs to save us so we can be the faithful and prudent slave and not this evil slave. And A here says to say in our heart that our master delays is to love the present evil age and not to love the Lord's appearing, which is his coming. You know, here in 2 Timothy 4, it talks about, you know, how Demas has abandoned Paul, having loved the present age and has gone to Thessalonica. You know, Demas, you know, was fellowshipping or coordinating with Paul for some time. But one day, his love changed. He started to love the present age. And because of this, he departed. You know, this is the evil thing. You know, Lord Jesus, may we ask the Lord so much, you know, to save us from doing this. You know, in many of our fellowships, especially with the trainees, one of the questions they ask so many times is they read the history and they find out, you know, there are rebellions that happen in the Lord's recovery. And they were asking, you know, how do we prevent from participating in such rebellion? You know, I believe the way that we can prevent ourselves from participating in any rebellion is by loving the Lord. Amen. And by loving the appearing of the Lord. Amen. This appearing is not just the appearing in the future, but the appearing each day. The Lord wants to appear to us every day. If we lose our touch with the Lord, then we are subject to the enemy. Then not one of us is safe from being a rebellious one. But if we love the Lord, we love His coming, we love to have His contact every day, we love His appearing to us each day, then the Lord will be able to infuse more and more of Himself into us, so that we can, you know, the Satan would have nothing with us. He would never be able to touch us. So we must love the Lord's appearing. You know, if you look at Acts 26, verse 16, the Lord said, I will appear to you. You know, He's promised that He's going to appear to us again and again. So we must claim this promise of the Lord, you know, to have His appearing to us each day so that we can follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Okay, one here says, as long as we have today, we should love the Lord and His appearing, awaiting His coming and taking His coming as a warning, an encouragement, and an incentive. Okay, and then two say, we need to watch and be ready for His coming. Three, we need to beware of covetousness, not storing up treasure for ourselves, but being rich toward God. But being rich toward God. Okay, you know, this speaking about this rich man, you know, because he has so much crabs and all this, you know, so he said to his soul, you know, in verse 19 he said, and I will say to my soul, you know, it's good that we don't talk too much to our soul. You know, talk to the Lord. I think his problem, he's talked too much to his soul. He said, I say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid out for many years. So rest, eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. So don't talk to your soul too much. Okay. And then verse 20, he said, and God said to him, foolish one, this night they are requiring your soul from you and the things which you have prepared, whose will they be? So is he who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Oh, may we ask the Lord to make us those people that are rich toward God. Yeah. You know, from time to time, we talk about some of the burdens in the Lord's recovery. You know, like, you know, there is so much need in Israel, in Jerusalem, you know, in Germany, and all these different places. You know, that is actually to give us an opportunity to be rich toward God. Amen. Don't you think that's wonderful? You know, I appreciate it very, very much. You know, one time when my sons was given a big raise, almost double his salary, you know, a brother flew there to tell him this. He said, all this increase is not for yourself, but for God. You need to be reached toward God. And to this day, he's practicing that. And I am really grateful to these co-workers who would flew over there just to tell him this. You know, if I tell my sons this, you know, they'll say, yeah, what's new? But for another brother to tell him that, you know, he take it into much consideration and reconsideration. You know, praise the Lord for what he's doing. But here today, we need to be reminded that we need to be reached toward God. Okay? And then 4 here says, we need to remember Lot's wife. Okay, remember Lot's wife. Not loving and treasuring the evil world that God is going to judge and utterly destroy. You know, sometimes I wonder how foolish Lot's wife could be. You know, Sodom is already burning. You know, so it's not something that you have to imagine. Sodom is burning. And the Lord has let them out, saved them. Yet she turned around because she loves what she had before. You know, so today, this remembering Lot's wife is very important. So if you want to give them food, you need to remember Lot's wife. Give them food and remember Lot's wife. Okay? And 5 here says, we need to be watchful and beseeching so that the day of the Lord's coming would not come upon us suddenly as a snare. You know, the coming of the Lord should be a blessing to us, a rejoicing, not a snare. Okay, and then 6 say, come, Lord Jesus. This should be the longing cry and constant prayer of those who love the Lord and his appearing.
Amen.
You know, when the Lord say, I come quickly, we should all echo his prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Okay, and then B here says, to beat our fellow slave is to mistreat fellow believers. To mistreat fellow believers. You know, we need to really recognize what we are doing when we are mistreating our fellow believers. You know, the Lord appeared to Paul and said, why do you persecute me? So to persecute the body of Christ is to persecute the Lord. Maybe we don't have too much understanding of this, or we don't remember. So sometimes we are willing to persecute, or we are willing to beat our fellow believers. But remember, they are members of Christ. They are members of Christ. I remember very, very clearly. One time I was reading a letter to Brother Lee. And this letter was written by, I think, 9 elders talking about another brother. You know, how that brother has become quite a problem to the church. Okay? So I brought that letter to Brother Lee, and Brother Lee said, why don't you read it to me? So I read that letter to him. And after I read that letter, probably said something that I would never forget. He said, remember, these elders are sons of God. So is this brother. So he said, be careful how you handle a situation like this. You know, they are also sons of God. You know, so we need to make sure we don't beat our fellow slaves and to mistreat our fellow believers. One here said, we should not judge and condemn our fellow believers, but be kind to them, tender-hearted, forgiving them, even as God in Christ forgave them. And 2 said, we should not revile. That means to attack someone, you know, with abusive language. We should not revile or criticize our brothers, but consider them more excellent than ourselves. We should not lord it over our fellow believers, but serve them as a servant, even as a slave, to feed them with the resurrected Christ as the life-giving spirit. Amen. And then C said, to eat and drink with the drunken is to keep company with the worldly people who are drunk with worldly things. And one here says, because of their divine nature and holy standing, the believers should not be yoked together with the unbelievers. This should be applied to all intimate relationship between believers and unbelievers, not only to marriage and business. You know, Burley spoke further about this. He said that even in the church life, we should be very careful how our relationship with one another is. He says, better not to go into business with our fellow believers. Because when money is involved, so many times, you know, problems will come. Problem comes with money. And so I hope we would really consider all this, you know. To work for someone is a different thing. To go into partnership, that's another thing. You know? Okay? And then two here said, we need to flee youthful lust and pursue the all-inclusive Christ with those who call on the Lord out of the pure heart. We should flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And D here says, the faithful and prudent slave will be rewarded with the authority to rule in the manifestation of the kingdom, whereas the evil slave will be cut off from the glorious Christ, from the glory of his kingdom, and from his glorious presence in his kingdom. To be cut off from the manifestation of the kingdom is to be cast into the outer darkness, where there is the weeping and gnashing of teeth. The outer darkness is the darkness outside the bright glory in the manifestation of the kingdom. Weeping indicates regret, and gnashing of the teeth indicates self-blame. To reign with Christ. This is wonderful. How about we all read this? To reign with Christ
over the nations in the millennial kingdom will be a prize to his faithful and prudent slaves.
So I hope we would encourage one another to live in the reality of God's kingdom by living a God-man life so that we can be the faithful and prudent slave. Amen. May the Lord have mercy on us. Amen.